broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Going places where the talk shows wish they could and they can't, brother. And tonight we have Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Americans eating more. Americans packing on the pounds, and we're not doing the kind of physical labor that we should be doing that help us that would help us keep that weight off. Only 6% of us, when we work, are actually doing any kind of a physical type of work that allows us to burn calories. We also have Jerry Noel with us, a writer who's going to talk about an online blog he's written called The Other Holocaust. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots every single night. We ask you to join us here, and you can also watch us online at philhendryshow.com, which is, of course, the strong right arm, our internet arm. We also have Phil TV and HD right now on philhendryshow.com. So when you have a backstage pass, you can watch the show, you can listen to the show, you can hear the archives of the show, you can watch our news feed, you can go back and get archived video, you can get our classic podcast, you can get our regular podcast. I mean, it just doesn't end, man. The bargains, the value. The whole beautiful effervescent thing. So join us over there at philhendryshow.com. Tonight our affiliate spotlight is on KJCE in Austin, Texas, and WFBL in the great city of Syracuse, New York. So Jerry Noel has written a blog, and Jerry, I was going to say, you know, you've written a lot of blogs and a lot of books, and this is the first that I think you're really, the first time you've really jumped into the blogosphere, as they call it, huh?
That's right. Well, it's going to be an interesting experiment, I think, Phil, in finding out just what kind of discipline it takes to write online as opposed to doing the writing that I've done, which is traditional. And also in the newspaper world, you know, Phil, there's a time we had these deadlines, and deadlines are a little bit of a thing of the past. Newspapers do have to make a daily deadline, but so many of these articles we're writing today, we're writing them from everywhere. And we're not having to call them in. We're doing them online as simply sending it by way of email and things like that. So this is going to be fun. And this one was close to home because of kids getting older now, you know.
You've got two graduating, right?
I got my eldest two, Janice. And Janice is the eldest daughter, and Jerry Jr. is graduating actually next semester. He's going to be graduating in the autumn months. And then we've got two more coming up behind them, and of course we've got grandkids. But because of our eldest boy, David, and David's kids are going to be entering college here not too long.
All right, you call this the second Holocaust? Isn't that a little bit of a strong word? Because what we're going to talk to Jerry about here tonight is the disaster that has been happening to people here in the United States. With the weather, and it's a brutal thing. Have you been there?
I flew over and went with a couple of friends of mine who were in the National Guard in Missouri, and we saw some of the damage. I've never seen anything like it. I've been a newspaper reporter, and I've seen a lot of accidents, and I've seen a lot of weather damage, too, believe me. But I haven't seen anything quite this concentrated, and it's a very, very tough thing, Phil, to look at.
All right, so you've seen that disaster. You're writing a blog here about what you consider to be the second disaster in America, which is the graduating seniors, people leaving college, and they haven't learned anything.
Yeah, and this is a problem. Well, you may love your kids as I love my kids, and you may honor the worship the very ground they walk on. You know, I mean, when my eldest was born, Janice was she was the first of three, and we had such great hopes for her. We still do, but she has spent 4 years in college, and she's going to be leaving college without having learned a whole lot. She's going to have a bachelor's degree, and she's going to have some grasp of the. Her major was in theater arts, and the second one coming up, Jerry Jr., his major is in business administration. A lot of people have business administration.
Well, what do you call this second Holocaust?
We've got kids, literally thousands of them being graduating this year, Phil, who are going out in the workplace, and they are not ready. They're not intelligent enough to grapple what's going to be happening in the world. They're not smart enough to get the jobs that are going to be available to them. They are not motivated enough.
Are they basically intelligent enough?
I don't know if they're intelligent enough. I had the greatest of hopes for my kids, and I'm sure there are millions of people in America tonight who have the greatest of hopes for their kids and would say, well, I've got very intelligent kids. It just seems to be a very tough workplace. I think there is another way of looking at this. We have another disaster that we have to look at. It's not just the disasters that we see when a hurricane hits or when the tornadoes hit or when the earthquakes occur and the tsunamis and so forth, of which we've seen so many. The other disaster we've got is the drain of intelligence from the American business model and manufacturing model, and I think that has to do with the people that are coming out of college.
Are the kids that are coming out of college, in other words, are they lazy? Are they not intelligent enough?
I think it's a combination of both. I think you've got a lot of people graduating from college these days who are not motivated. A lot of them are not motivated because they felt that at some point in their careers in college, they felt that they could perhaps make money playing video games, or they thought they could make money watching television, or they thought they could make money staying in the dorm room. But you figure out you can't do that, and then you have to then apply yourself, and you apply yourself in the wrong area. So we have thousands and thousands of kids coming out of college who are essentially. If you talk about the numbers of people, Phil, that die every year in weather-related, these are people that are dead as well. They are dead. They're dead to us in terms of their availability to us as a society.
All right, I want to be very clear. We have Jerry Noel on the phone with us, a writer who's written a book called, or excuse me, an online blog called "The Second Holocaust." You use the word Holocaust.
That's correct. Yes.
Because they're not dead, but you're saying they're dead to us, meaning there are thousands of, and millions perhaps, seniors leaving college, not high school.
No, these are our college seniors not going on to any kind of secondary education.
And they are, when you say they're dead to us, dead to the society?
Dead to the society and their usefulness. You can leave a college and have your bachelor's degree. You can get a business, a master's of business, and perhaps work your way into a company at a fairly comfortable account executive level. You might even get yourself a comptroller job or something, but you're never really going to add anything. You are eventually, within time, going to be seen as a lead weight in the company. Now,
but we have successful people all the time in businesses across this country. We have people that are proving themselves all the time.
Well, we have people that are proving themselves to these companies, but where do we have the truly great minds, the Thomas Edisons? Where are they? Where are the Rockefellers? Where are the minds like Bill Gates? Where are the minds like, if you want to go into the entertainment, the Walt Disneys? Where are the minds that, where are the innovative and creative and explosively genius-driven minds? We don't have them. And we don't see any on the horizon. And that's why we say that we have thousands, if not millions, as you said, Phil, of seniors leaving colleges who are dead. Dead, essentially, in every way, except physically, to us. And my son, and I love him, and I love my daughter, and I think we all love our kids, and I'm always going to be there for them. But they're dead to me, and they're dead to... They're
dead to you in what way? What do you mean dead?
Well, the idea that my son and my daughter are going to graduate with anything approaching a useful skill that society is going to be able to mine and develop for great things is highly unlikely. And it's just as true for anyone listening right now. I'm not trying to say because my kids are dead to me that people listening right now, their kids need to be dead to them, but we're all in the same boat.
And look, I've got a stepdaughter who I just had breakfast with the other morning. I've got two sons. Everyone, with the exception of my girl, these guys are graduated from college. They've all started their careers. One of them works for me, who is a very, very bright guy and has got so much potential, and we use him for so many things. I see in him enormous potential to run a business someday. Is that not good enough?
Well, it depends on the business. You know, if you're talking about a mom-and-pop operation, I don't know what kind of business. I'm not talking about yours necessarily, Phil, but if you're talking about a mom-and-pop operation where you don't need the kind of genius thinking that's going to drive a Thomas Edison industry. Again, think about Thomas Edison. Do we have any Thomas Edison? We don't have that. And we don't have that this generation, probably won't have next generation. We've got millions and millions of young people leaving colleges. We're waiting for that great genius mind. That's not going to happen. And the mind, the killing of the mind, the killing of the American mind is taking place with these just dead, from the neck up, if you want to call them, young people.
Well, that's not a very optimistic. What is your solution to this? It's not a very optimistic. And by the way, we're talking with Jerry Knoll here on the Phil Hendry Show, a writer who's written a book called The Second Holocaust, which is a very powerful. It might even be an overkill term, Jerry, that we have not only people that have lost their lives in natural disasters, we have people who are brain dead, you're basically saying.
The disaster is that, and you're probably right, I probably shouldn't have used the word Holocaust because it brings up too many other images. I should have said disaster, but what I'm saying is the people are alive and vibrant as far as it goes. I mean, if you need somebody to rent a jet ski, well, you've got people who can, rent jet skis. But these are not individuals that are going to actually do anything for this country, the society that we live in right now. Your kids, my kids. I remember again, Phil, I'm including my own kids. It's Jerry Jr. and Janice is my eldest. She's going to be graduating here in a few weeks. She's got a degree in theater arts. She won't be able to use it. She can't, and she knows it. She's coming home to live. And
does this have more to do with the fact that she's coming home to live with you guys?
No, it doesn't at all, because we understand the economy. It's got nothing to do with the economy. It's that she's not bringing anything into the workplace eventually. She won't be bringing into the workplace anything unique. Neither will Jerry. And neither are any of the other young people, the millions of them graduating. We need people, and I don't know where we're going to get them, but we need people who are going to excite commerce and industry, who are going to excite the development of new industries and new technologies, and new manufacturing. We just don't have it right now. We don't have it. I don't see anybody who's got it. And you can talk to every 2,000, 3,000 college graduates in this country, and at the end of the day, you're tired. Your eyes are tired. Your ears are tired. You're bored. Having talked to all 3,000, and there's nothing going on there. Just the eyes are a little glazed over, and you come up with these terms that I came up with the blog with, that they are dead to me and dead to you and dead inside, because they're looking back at you with almost like a doll's eyes, like these dead staring eyes, and that's the thing that we have to look at.
All right, Jerry Knoll with sounding an alarm here in his blog called The Second Holocaust, that today's college graduates represent a wave of utter and complete inability, and that they are essentially, for society's purposes, dead. Our number is, it's a heck of an indictment, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So to say that there are no Thomas Edisons, it means that they are dead.
Well, the idea here, Phil, is that college graduates are they're lazy and unintelligent. They're useless to society. They're dead to me, they're dead to you, and they are young people who are sons and daughters who are graduating from these colleges who have no ability to, as I said, excite the technology and excite the infrastructure.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, talking to Jerry Knoll. Next hour we have Ted Bell here as we go through this Thursday night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico, 877-876-PHIL. Check us out on philhendryshow.com. We got our Phil TV in HD cranking right now. We had a little bit of pre-show maintenance. We are up and running and beautiful, and we'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we have Jerry Knoll with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And Jerry has written The Second Holocaust, a blog about America's chances here over the next 20 years, that we have college graduates this generation of college graduates who really don't have anything going on. I mean, that is essentially what you're saying here, right?
Well, I'm saying that, not in comparison, for instance, Phil, you have to put everything in comparison.
Yeah. Well, in your blog, you're talking about the Chinese.
Well, without question, the Chinese have us, right now, the Chinese have got us dead to rights, manufacturing, the production, just the productivity alone. And of course, the Chinese have got a far more effective, I think, manufacturing base because it is so enforced, and it does not go, it's not, certainly it's not run along the same lines as American production, private business, small interest, and so forth. That's one problem. And the other problem you have is just the American mentality of requiring a certain level of money, and if we, you know, don't get that kind of money, then we're not very motivated people, and right now we're going through this cross-pollinization between, being competitive with a country that, like China, which is paying much, much less, and at the same time trying to keep the viability of our unions and our workforce in place. That's not going to happen. You know, we have people that are dead, and when I say dead, I mean in terms of their ability to produce compared to, like, the Chinese, the Brazilians, the Russians, dead. Here's the other thing. This is something that was created by the American parent because they sort of took upon themselves luxuries and I'm trying to think of the profitability of the generation that came before. So we don't have any answers. We don't have any answers. Where are they going to come from, the Edisons? We don't know. The parents of these kids don't know.
Well, I mean, we've always believed in this country that it takes good old-fashioned Yankee ingenuity, using the imagination.
Well, there's nothing to stimulate the imagination in a country where the very first thing that comes to mind, if you want to be stimulated about anything, is money. All right. I can guarantee you, of the people that you will have calling your radio show tonight, that the people that call up will have more to say about insignificant and petty things than they do about the overall manufacturing ability of this country.
What do you mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what, before you even, you know, answer that, why don't we take a phone call, okay?
But I'm not trying to put anybody down, you know.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is that the American people don't get the big picture.
I don't. The American people don't get the big picture because the American people have not been, have not been compelled to pay attention to the big picture.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Today's college graduate is mentally dead, according to our guest here, Jerry Noel, and cannot compete with the Chinese and others. Dave in Indianapolis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I've been listening, and it's driving me crazy hearing your guest who's written a blog. I know he hasn't written a book, but he's written a blog about all college students who are dead coming out of college and not able to contribute. I do understand perhaps your two children are underachievers. It's very
nice. These are all college students. It's a whole generation. The whole generation is being affected here. I have to repeat what I'm saying, that you didn't hear me.
When I talk, Jerry, it's very possible that your two children are underachievers, and you're right to blame the parents. If I grew up in a home like yours,
I'm talking about
completely negative
about
the potential possibility. I think that I would have ended up.
What's wrong with this guy's? What's wrong with this guy's phone? It's he's feeding back. Have you got your radio turned down, sir?
The radio is off.
Okay, good. I'm getting feedback. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, okay. Sir, I was talking about everybody's kids, not just mine. Yours too.
Well, but you're escalating to everyone's kids.
Your kids are
not
mentally dead.
Okay.
Mentally dead.
But your children? Do you believe? Okay. What exactly are you offering to society? Listen a second, Jerry, please.
Someone has to the clarion call. Everybody in every generation has to be a clarion call to tell people, well, here is something that is a problem.
Okay,
and
that's what writers do.
That's what the job of a writer. That's what the job of a writer is, sir.
Okay, so you
that's
write.
The job of any journalist is.
What do you do?
And this is exactly
like
what I was saying to Mr. Henry. You are turning this into a petty thing about me.
Not at all.
I'm talking about a larger issue. That's exactly what I'm
asking you. I'm asking you yourself. In what way are you like Thomas Edison or? In what way are you contributing the way that Thomas said? You had one brilliant idea.
We are losing because you are turning this into a petty one-on-one thing, and this is why this country is losing. I'm saying this is a generational problem.
All right, let me move this along. Let me move this along. Forget about you, Dave, and you, Jerry. Have you guys got anything to offer in a general sense? I know what you're saying, Dave. You want to attack him personally, but that really doesn't answer the question. That doesn't answer the question as to what is wrong with, if there is anything wrong.
I'm telling you this is generational.
All right, you say it's generational, but you really haven't offered any proof.
There is absolutely a problem in our country.
Yeah? Is this you there, sir? Okay. 877-876-PHIL.
Hello.
And, yeah, I don't know what happened to that guy's call, but we'll be back as we talk here with Jerry Noel and you on America and America's generational, the college graduates, basically, coming out of college right now are not very bright. In fact, they are dead from the neck up and cannot compete with the Chinese. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Well, no.
876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. With me is Jerry Noel. He's a writer and has written a number of blogs on the state of the economy and American manufacturing. This most recent, The Second Holocaust, is about the not just the terrible natural disasters the American people and, frankly, people of the world have faced over the last several years. But the second natural disaster, as you call it, Jerry, the fact that we have kids going out of college, leaving college, and you keep calling them dead. Why?
Well, the idea, Phil, is to emphasize a point, and the point is that this is a generation of college graduates' potentials in the workforce and elsewhere, and these are people that are not alive as it pertains to the manufacturing, technological, and creative base that we need to compete with, again, the big C, which is China, and these other countries. But I'm glad you brought up China. I brought China up, and you and I were talking about China. China is the big, China is going to be, as they used to call, you know, cancer, the big casino. China is the new cancer. China is going to be the new disease that is going to eat away at the, at not only just American manufacturing, American domination in world economy, but also our confidence. And that's what's happening right now. We have lost our confidence. And with the loss of confidence, this is something that we sort of transfer onto our young people. So we have a lot of kids going to college, and we had an emphasis on people going to college. And gosh knows that we've done generations and generations of work in getting people to go to college, but we have never really told them what to do once they get there. Now, of course, it's important to know what you want to do with your life. And that goes without saying.
All right, well, you're talking about motivation here, right?
I'm talking about motivation. And raw intelligence. And something might have happened if you're talking about baby boomers. I don't know if this was something that had to do with the amount of drugs that was taken in the late 1960s and early 1970s with the blood of the parents of these kids who go into college and come out of college not much smarter than they were when they first got into high school, really. And to me, that's the larger issue here.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Jerry Noel, and your thoughts, welcome, on our program. Is Jerry being a little hard? I mean, I know that the last gentleman we spoke to felt that you were being really hard on our college graduates, as well as, you know, maybe even the high schools, saying that the high school students saying that they are mentally dead and that China is producing better college students.
And the last gentleman you were referring to wanted, and I predicted it, and I was right. And I'm pretty on about these things. So I say, well, look, I'm presenting a problem that is so complex that the only thing that the American, the average American can grasp is to somehow get personal with it. So that gentleman started to attack me personally when he started to say, well, what are you doing? And I'm a writer. I mean, I could go out there right now and try and create a better climate.
Well, what were you saying about the man, that he was petty?
I was just saying he doesn't understand the problem. He doesn't understand the problem because his mind is so condensed because perhaps we're just Americans and all we know is being petty, that the only thing you know how to do is attack me. Well, you can't attack me. First of all, you're going to make a big mistake if you attack me because I can mop the floor with that. You know, I say it with the greatest of humility to him, but I'm going to mop the floor with anybody that's going to call and try to attack me. And that's not what it's about.
And what do you mean you're going to not mop the floor with them? We don't want to talk about, you know, we want to have a debate here. We want to learn.
Well, yes, exactly. So don't call up and tell me that I'm wrong. Call call up and ask me questions. Well, what do you think? How can we get out of this problem? But even that is something that kind of is monotonous, and I've gotten that on a lot of shows. So I would prefer people call up with their own solutions to the problem and their own ideas of how we get out from underneath and their own ideas of how we're going to. And I hope that their ideas that are not, you know, have to do with, you know, Jerry, you need to, you know, die. You know, I've had that.
The shows that you've been on, you've gotten attacked personally because of what you're saying. I know, and what you're saying is very, very controversial. Now, I cannot, for my own self, say that I understand entirely the engine of economics, but I have to believe. Because I do believe in American exceptionalism. I do believe that we are the world's descendants of the world's ADD people. And so I do believe that we have a better shot here in this country because of the wide berth we have in terms of personal freedom to compete. When people are coming out of college, you say, dead from the neck up, dead in comparison to the Chinese, dead in comparison to the Russians, dead in comparison to other generations, that's something that's fundamentally wrong. And the only thing you've been able to identify here is that their parents were drug takers.
Well, the parents were definitely drug users from the 60s and 70s. That's part of it. That's part of the problem. These were kids whose parents were... I'm not saying that was the lifestyle that they led, but there was something that had to do with the genetic makeup of a lot of these kids because of the drug use. The second thing that I think is the problem here is there simply isn't any motivation. The reason why there's no motivation is because the country has become an enormous space that people live in and do whatever they want to in and are not aware of the fact that they are related to anything larger. They just think that the rest of the world is sort of just play acting. So what I would like from anybody that calls your program tonight, and I know that you've been screening them out judiciously, and...
We've had a lot of people calling and calling your names and hanging up, and...
Well, that's to be expected. But what I would like, rather than having, these people that I'm going to mop the floor with, I'd like to have people...
Well, first of all, here's the thing that please don't tell me how we're going to, you know, who we're going to choose to talk to you. I think you're intimidating a lot of people. And I think that the example is that gentleman that called. And I don't think, I don't want you to say, for instance, that this is a blanket statement that every college student that is out there is an idiot. And every college student...
Phil, I'd like to not have to say that, but it's true. All right? Americans are not smart enough to come up with a solution. Americans are not smart enough to even produce a generation of college students that are going to be coming up with solutions. Americans are not smart enough to produce a generation of college students that may themselves produce a generation of college students that can come up with solutions. You know what I mean? So it's on and on and on and on. And until such time as we can create the humanity, Phil, that we need... And we don't have humanity in this country anymore. So we have dead people when it comes to tornadoes. We've got dead people when it comes to hurricanes. We have dead people when it comes to tsunamis. And we have dead people who are walking to classrooms every day and leaving those classrooms and going back to their dorm rooms dead. They're dead when they get up, dead when they go to bed, dead when they're sitting in class, dead when they go home to their parents, dead.
Well, you know what? There's a reason why people die, and some of it has to do with just the natural occurrence of life.
Well, that's absolutely true, and some of it has to do with the fact they have a fatal disease. The fatal disease we have in this country is we have lost our way. We have lost our way, and we certainly don't know how to make those Thomas Edisons any longer. We haven't had a Thomas Edison in this country since Bill Gates.
Well, Bill Gates ain't bad. I mean, every time we have a genius in this country, man, we come along with some...
Well, that's the other thing. We don't do it. They do it. So we have to begin to... Let's stop owning these guys like they're pet monkeys or that they're a pet or they're somebody that we have in our pocket. Because we don't own Bill Gates anymore. We own Thomas Edison. I don't think we should take credit for Thomas Edison.
When you come on here and you're talking to me, and we're talking to Jerry Noel, our number is 877-876-PHIL. When you come on here and you're talking to me about the genius of America and our ability to manufacture, you sound like you want to own all those geniuses.
I think, it's an instinct that we all want to own the genius, but the fact is Thomas Edison is not owned by America. Thomas Edison had to succeed despite America. Thomas Edison had to succeed despite the fact that he lived in America. He was called a retard. He's talking about the word retard. Thomas Edison was called that his whole life. So he made it in this country, even though America didn't want him to make it.
And how do you know that? How could you say something like that?
Well, look at the way he was treated when he was a kid. Look at the way that he was, that people called him a dumbass and a mental retard and this kind of thing. Well, the same thing could happen.
Well, no, hold on. When you say that America didn't want him to succeed, I think that America, the whole world is full of cruel people. You know,
the whole world is full of cruel people. So what's your point?
My point is the world is filled with cruel, but in America, you can bust through that cruelty and make it.
Boy, again, you have to understand the blog that I wrote called The Second Holocaust. Nobody's getting through that smokescreen anymore, Phil. Okay? And
well, you're not offering any solutions. You're just attacking America. That seems to be the point here. Okay?
The solutions I'm looking for are going to be solutions that will be slow in coming. But, I have to attack America because it's the cause. We don't have any Thomas Edisons or any more of the geniuses because America has decided to take them all and kill them and have them walking dead, like we were talking about last week with the zombies. And we've got a whole generation zombie.
87, a generation of zombies. 877-876 Phil. Jerry Noel on the line with us here as we talk about his blog, The Second Holocaust. And America's not producing any Thomas Edisons anymore, not producing any real geniuses. John Rockefellers, all of these guys, they're just not being made any longer because America's college graduates are dead. Dead mentally, dead emotionally, other than physically. They're walking to class, but they're dead. 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be back with more from Jerry Noel here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
No, they don't.
Phil.
Well, they don't understand.
That's 877-876-7445.
Well, I don't know, man.
877-876-7445.
If you say that people don't understand what you're talking about, it's your fault.
No, it isn't my fault. Let me explain, Phil.
All right, first of all, we have Jerry Noel on the line, a blogger, writer, a man who has been writing about the economy for some 31 years, and he's telling us that the generations that we see of college graduates, or at least individuals, people who will be graduating this year, are mentally dead, intellectually dead. Just, you said dead from the neck up, all of these terms. You even went so far at one point as to say the eyes are dead, doll's eyes, this kind of thing. Now, I don't know whether I don't think you've exactly explained why. You did say that the parents of these kids were former hippies and drug takers, and I don't think that that's an answer.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not chalking up to that, Phil. There's a number of motivational factors. There's generational factors, genetic factors, motivational cultural factors, mostly what we're talking about here. But it is a generation of people who were born not so much into a country as they were born into a large amniotic sack of comfort, and there are answers as to what we need to do, but I don't know that anyone's going to understand them, because I understand when I come on your program tonight, I knew that what I was going to be doing, what I was going to be talking about, would be very, very difficult for people to understand. It's difficult for the American people to understand that they have a generation of young people coming out of college that are going to get, really, to use the parlance of the street, they're going to get it, quote, handed to them by the Chinese.
You're flat out saying that. You're just flat out saying there's an entire generation, thousands and thousands of American kids coming out of college, are going to get their asses handed to them by the Chinese, and that's it.
Well, there are solutions, certainly, and there are things we can do to turn it around. And
well, what? Tell me what those are.
For me to explain those, I would have to go into the homes of every one of your listeners and get them to put down their newspapers, put down their coffee, and put down their whatever they're doing. And I would have to get them to look at me and pay attention to me. What I've got to say takes an awful lot of concentration and intelligence, and I don't even know that people are going to understand it then.
And what are you talking about?
You asked me about a solution.
Yeah, a solution. In other words, if we have a generation of college students who are mentally dead, as you just said.
Correct.
What is the solution so that they can compete with the Chinese?
It is a very, very complex series of answers that I need to give you, and they are very, very specific to areas such as economics, specific to areas of manufacturing, areas of technology. There are also areas of motivation, areas of parenting, a lot of different areas here, Phil, and that I don't know where you want me to begin, but I can tell you this, it's going to be very, very hard to explain this, and that's why I lost hope when I first came on your program and you were asking me these questions, you sounded like one of these conservatives who, well, you know, America this, America that. Well, that's really fine. You know,
I don't know what you're saying to me right now. Are you telling me it's my fault that I didn't get that we're not getting answers? You have excuses. You have no solutions.
I have plenty of solutions. The question is, are you going to understand the solution? Am I going to be wasting my breath talking to you about a solution that you can't understand, your audience can't understand?
Well, what was it that I said when you first came on this program that you said it discouraged you?
When I first came on the program, you said, well, it's America and we can do anything we want. You gave me an awful lot of pat answers that I found to be wearying, fatiguing when I listened to you talking about that.
And what do you mean wearying and fatiguing?
I got tired listening to you talking about America, America, America. I love this country, Phil, believe me. I love it, but there's going to take a lot more than just loving America to turn it around. And so the solutions that I have, I spell out in three simple plans.
Well, is this a part of a book or something that you've written that you don't want to tell me what they are?
No, not at all. They are. I talk about them to all kinds of groups. I talk about them to all kinds of people that I'm invited, but I can't quite bring myself to tell you or your audience because I'm sensing that there is a dullness to what's going on in your audience and you.
And there's a dullness, huh? Well, I tell you something. That's quite an insult, first of all.
Well, you can tell me I've been insulted. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to give you answers.
And all right, well, first of all, we've got college students that are dead from the neck up, and now we've got a dullness to our my radio show and my audience.
I don't want to paint you with a broad brush.
Well, that's exactly what you've done, and so I'm not going to get the answers, but you tell other groups what the answers are.
That is correct. Well, I'm not trying to tell you that I went on Rusty Humphrey's program.
All right, well, that's fine. You can go on anybody's show that you want to give answers. You don't want to give any answers to me, and you are using as the excuse the fact that we're too dumb.
I didn't say dumb.
Well, you said dull.
I said, yes, I did. I said dull. I don't think there is an acumen there that would understand.
So we're too dull to understand what it is you're trying to say. And to me, that's an insult. And not only that, but it makes me think to myself that you don't have...
Yeah, the way you're thinking to yourself.
And it makes me think that you don't have the answers. So with that, I guess we are concluding our conversation.
Well, we can conclude the conversation if you want, Phil. Or you can sit. I've got a couple of other ideas that I wanted to throw at you.
And if these are part of the answers that I'm looking for, then go ahead. Yeah.
Well, the idea is that there isn't really an answer, that nothing that I'm going to give you that's going to open your eyes. I could give you answers, and you will still think that I'm giving you a lot of criticism. And I'm not. I could give you answers, and you would think that I'm talking about something entirely. So even if I gave you the answer, you wouldn't recognize the answer. That's what I mean about dull. That's what I mean about not being sharp. America is losing the battle with the rest of the world because, number one, we think we are. Every generation of Americans think they're losing the battle of manufacturing. This generation is no different. We think we are. Number two, we're losing the battle of manufacturing and technology with the rest of the world because we are actually losing it, because we don't have the ideas we used to have, because we used to manufacture more, and because we had a much broader base of product and stimulus and so forth. We don't have that anymore.
All right, so you're saying we're losing this battle because we think we are, and we're losing this battle because we actually are.
That is correct. The next thing that we're doing is that we are producing a duller and duller version of American from one generation to the next. So we start out when you have a great generation, the greatest generation, the next generation's a little bit more dull, and there is a dulling. And now we have ourselves here at the turn of the 21st century with just a dull.
Okay, and so the only solution to that is to make less dull people, and I don't know. I guess we're going to have to stop taking drugs. You haven't given me any answers here. I asked for some, and you decided that you didn't want to give any because we're too dull.
Yes, and I apologize for that, Phil. I should have known.
All right, Jerry, thank you very much. His blog, well, I'm not even going to tell him.
Tell him what?
Where to find your blog. I don't want to tell anybody about your blog. I don't want to tell anybody more about you. Get out of here.
He's going to be mad. We told him to talk about the blog.
Well, you know what? We're not going to talk about his blog now. If I'm too dull and too stupid to figure out what the hell is wrong with the American people. That's a beautiful thing, man. Jerry Noel. All right, coming up, we have Ted Bell from Tents of Beverly Hills. And before you even let him on the show, let him know that if I got to go through that again, man, Ted Bell is going to be talking with us about the less active at work Americans have packed on the pounds is an article that was actually in the Salt Lake Tribune, but one that has been reprinted across the country. So we're not really doing the work that we're not doing really active work. which I don't know whether that is something that we used to be, you know, used to be true or not. Only about, it says only the workforce is only about 6.5% of us are doing any kind of work that necessitates real physical activity. So with the fewer and fewer of us active at work, more and more of us are putting on the weight. And so we're going to talk to Ted Bell. He's the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, and our next hour is going to be sponsored by Ted. He'll come on here and talk with us about that. Also, our website, philhenryshow.com, is up and running, and we are at philhenryshow.com with Phil TV in HD right now, broadcasting live from the El Pacifico. Behind me, you see the beautiful Pacific Ocean here. From our studio, our merchandise store is open, and you can get the Phil Henry T-shirt, as well as our coffee mug, as well as our shot glass, all the legacy CDs that you want over there at philhenryshow.com. We also have a Twitter account that we just started tonight called PHS Ideas. And if you've got any ideas you want to pitch into the bin for the Phil Henry Show, by all means.
Yeah, we can really use it, too.
Why don't you shut up, okay?
Shut up, man.
In any event, go over to PHS Ideas, twitter.com/PHS Ideas at Twitter. Get out of here.
Well,
we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.